We're going to look, say, at Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. There's a phrase there that comes up several times, so we're not going to go through every single verse. There are these long lists of behaviours that we can't even start to analyse every single one of those behaviours. We're going to pick out some of the big themes from Galatians 5, verses 16 to 25. I'm sure we've all been to parties and that sort of thing where someone says, right, we're going to do some icebreakers now. I don't know if you've ever come across anybody who's actually thought, oh great, I love icebreakers. Surely no one likes icebreakers, do they? No one enjoys that. And it's usually something like, pick three words to describe yourself. Well, that's not too bad, is it? We can manage that a bit. Now, if you imagine you have to do that, but you're restricted to some of the words here in verses 22 and 23, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Or in fact, imagine other people have to answer that question on your behalf. What would they say then? Would other people say, yeah, he's loving, she's kind, he's just full of a spirit of gentleness? You read some of these words, these fruit of the Spirit, and you think, actually, you know what, I'm almost embarrassed. When I read that word, it sort of jumps off the page at me, because I know I should be long-suffering or patient, but I just struggle with it so much, I'm so impatient. Maybe you read and think, I want to be more loving, but how do I become a more loving person? You see these words, these fruit of the Spirit, and you think, I want this for myself more and more, but how do you actually do it? Well, in thinking about the work of the Holy Spirit, those things are described as the fruit of the Spirit. They come from Him, from the Holy Spirit. And in particular, there's one key phrase I want us to focus in on from these verses tonight that I think will help us thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, how it comes. It's a phrase that's found firstly in verse 16, where it says, walk in the Spirit. Then again in verse 18 it says something very similar. It says, be led by the Spirit. And then in verse 25, at the end of the section we're looking at, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So that same phrase again, walk in the Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, I think that can come out, if you just read this and think, walk in the Spirit, that can sound like quite a vague, mystical thing. What does it actually mean for me to walk in the Spirit? So I want to try and answer that question. It helps us think about who the Holy Spirit is at the same time. So if we're going to walk in the Spirit, there's three things we need to do. And then there's three things that we should expect to happen when we walk in the Spirit. So here's the first thing we need to do if we're going to walk in the Spirit. We need to watch ourselves. You need to watch yourself. Now, I've said already, Paul uses this phrase twice, and then that similar phrase, be led by the Spirit. Or you might have a different translation that actually says, keep in step with the Spirit. And that's quite helpful because it brings out the image, the picture that Paul's using here. Now, people disagree on what exactly it is. Some people say this is a military picture. This is soldiers marching. And obviously, when you're marching in the army, you march in step. You're in a line. You don't just go off ahead of other people. But then some people will tell you, no, this is a picture about dancing. So you're off doing your Morris dancing, which I'm sure you know. You can't just be a freestyle Morris dancer. You've got to go do it with everyone else, haven't you? You can't just go off and do your own thing. You're looking at everyone else. You're keeping in step with them. Now, whether it's a military picture or a dancing picture, it amounts to the same thing here. Keep in step. Keep looking up. Keep looking at where these other people are. Am I in line with them? Now, how does that translate? If we're going to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, well, it means we watch ourselves. It means we check ourselves to say, am I in line with the Holy Spirit? And again, we need to think about how that transforms today life. One thing I think we've lost in our generation a little bit is Christians keeping diaries. You read about so many Christians from past ages, and they kept diaries. And I don't just mean, you know, I had two Weetabix for breakfast today sort of diaries. I mean diaries used as a way of keeping a record of my walk with the Lord, my spiritual growth, used as a way of fanning the flames into life. I read a little bit this week of David Brainerd's diary. He's a missionary to the Native Americans, and he was recording there his walk with the Lord, his prayers, the things he was asking for. He was doing it, and I think often Christians do it, as a way of measuring their Christian walk. You ever ask yourself that sort of question? How am I doing as a Christian? Am I making progress? Because that's what walking in the Spirit means. It means asking myself that sort of question. Like, is there anything I need to repent of today? Are there sins there in my life? And I'm not dealing with them. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to talk to God about it. Are there people I need to ask for forgiveness from? Are there things I need to think about with how I'm using my money? Keeping in step with the Spirit means assessing, am I in line with the teaching of Jesus Christ? See what I mean? We think this phrase sounds very mystical, but in one sense it's not. It's, am I walking in line with God's commands? Or have I run ahead? Am I dragging behind? Am I in line with what God says in the Bible? And one of the ways we do that is by asking ourselves that question, how am I doing? Now that's the first angle to this. That we have that responsibility to watch ourselves, to check our walk. But then the second angle to it, here's the second point, is that keeping in step with the Spirit means following the Spirit. So verse 18 says that we need to be led by the Spirit. And here it's the Spirit leading us, going in front, and we're to follow. So the picture here is one that would be used to describe a shepherd leading the sheep. The shepherd goes on ahead, and the sheep go on behind. So this is a picture of the Spirit leading God's people. But it's more than just leading. It's, I can put it this way, it's being the controlling influence in our lives, showing us more and more, helping us to identify ways in which we're not keeping in step, helping us to crush sin, helping us to walk in the way of God's commandments. So what the Holy Spirit will do here is, if you can imagine, here's God's word over here, and there's my life over here, it's going to show me the gap between the two. My life is not conforming to God's word on this particular area. The Spirit will open our eyes, he'll lead us, he'll show us, but he'll do more than just show us, he'll give us the power to deal with it, to crush those sins and put them to death. Again, that's what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. We're not just talking about some vague mystical thing. We're not just talking about how feelings and how my emotions are today. But it means the Holy Spirit working in us, showing us what we need to do, how we're called to live. Now those two elements, both have to be present when we think about the whole subject of how do I become more and more holy? How do I become more like Jesus? There's my responsibility, I am called to keep in step. And then there's the Holy Spirit's work as well. Bringing things to light, showing me things that I perhaps wouldn't have noticed otherwise. If we forget one or the other, that's when we become unbalanced. There's a Christian writer called Benjamin Warfield. He says this: it's the Holy Spirit's job to keep us in the path, but it's our job to tread every step of the way so that our limbs grow weary and our hearts faint. You see, the Holy Spirit has his job, and we have our job too. But you know, this is meant, one thing this should do for us is it should encourage and comfort us that we're not on our own in the fight. Here, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in you, making Jesus Christ plain to you, showing you the way, helping you to apply the Bible to your own situation. So when you read some of the commands and you think, well, what does this actually mean for me in my life? We don't just have to figure it all out on ourselves by our own. We have the Holy Spirit with us. Sometimes I wonder, do we focus too much just on me, what I have to do, and we forget completely we have God living in us, helping us with that. And then thirdly, the third thing we're called to do if we're to walk in the Spirit is we're to remember what we are and what we have in Christ. Now this brings us to, I suppose, one of the central questions. What does the Holy Spirit do? Who is the Holy Spirit? Again, I think we find this hard to pin down. We know who God is. We know who Jesus Christ is. We've never seen him face to face, but we read all about him. We get him. He's a human. We relate to him more easily. What does the Holy Spirit actually do in our lives? I'd say one of the biggest things the Holy Spirit does is to make Jesus Christ, who he is and what he does, to make Jesus Christ known to us. Now we know he does that when people are saved, when they first come to believe in Jesus. We know, don't we? It's the Holy Spirit's work. When someone comes to faith, it's not just them deciding by themselves. The Holy Spirit has come and worked in their hearts. But I wonder sometimes if we're not so quick to recognise the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in Christians' lives. There's one or two verses that I think bring this out about the work of the Holy Spirit. So John 14 verse 26, that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. What does Jesus say the Holy Spirit does? He says he's our teacher. The Holy Spirit is teaching us all things. Now that doesn't contradict the fact that the Bible teaches us all things. The two work together. Jesus tells us how it happens. He brings to our remembrance the things that Jesus has said. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Now this one, John 15 verse 26. Jesus says, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So what does the Holy Spirit do? He testifies of Jesus Christ. He tells us about Jesus. He reminds us who Jesus is and what he's done and what he's doing now. So, how do we actually walk in the Holy Spirit? What does that actually mean in our day-to-day lives? Well, let's think about some of those fruits of the Spirit. I'm aware we're not going to go through every single verse here. You do have in verses 19 to 21 what's described as the works of the flesh, and they're sort of pitted as the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. But just looking at those fruit of the Spirit that are mentioned in verses 22 and 23. And I was asking at the start, how do we produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Let's pick out one or two of them and think about them. So the first fruit that's mentioned there is love. What is it that produces love? What causes us to love? What does the Bible say? It says we love because he first loved us. So our love is a response to God's love. Now with that in mind, what will produce a greater love in our lives? A greater appreciation of the love God has for us. Let's think about joy. That's the next one that's listed. What produces joy? Well, here's what Jesus says in John 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So what produces joy? Knowing the things Jesus has spoken to us. Developing a greater appreciation of all the things he's told us about, a greater thankfulness for everything he's given us. Let's do one more fruit. We've got love, we've got joy, we've got peace. What produces peace? Again, listen to what Jesus says. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. So what produces peace? Being in me, Jesus says. Being in Jesus Christ. So if you want more peace in your life, one of the ways we get it is by focusing on that. Appreciating what it means to be in Jesus Christ. I hope you can see the link. Let me try and draw this out a little bit. The link between walking in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit by constantly reminding ourselves of the great truths of our faith. So we read, I read at the start of the service from Galatians chapter 4, where it says, "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer slaves, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Just stopping and meditating on verses like that helps us to walk in the Spirit. By thinking about who we were slaves, we were sinners, we were failures, we were arrogant, we were in desperate need, and Jesus came to us. He sent forth his Spirit into our hearts. We've received the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and now we're called children of God. Now we can cry out, Father. And now we're heirs of Jesus Christ. If you're an heir, that means you stand to inherit incredible, indescribable blessings from Jesus Christ. We're going to inherit. Walking in the Spirit means allowing the Spirit to remind us of those great truths, and also consciously choosing to think about them and meditate on them and apply them to our lives. I hope you can see, walking in the Spirit is not just some mystical term full of emotions. In a sense, it's actually the ABC of the Christian life. It's reminding ourselves of the gospel and how it applies to our daily lives. Let's ask a second question then. What can we expect to happen as we walk in the Holy Spirit, as we walk in the Spirit? And there's three things we can expect to happen. Firstly, you'll be more godly. So verse 16 says this: "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I think that verse is helpful because it picks up on a common error we sometimes make when it comes to this whole subject of living as Christians. If all we do is just try harder to stop sinning, we miss something very important. Because this verse says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, remind yourself of the gospel. Remind yourself who Jesus is and how precious he is and the wonderful hope you have in him. And think of the hymn, the song we sometimes sing. As we turn our eyes upon Jesus, as we look at his face, the things of earth grow strangely dim. There can be times for us when our appetite for sin diminishes because we're too transfixed with our great Saviour. Instead, our love for him exceeds our love for sin. So Jesus says, as we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We'll be more godly. Secondly, as we walk in the Spirit, you'll be more like Jesus. Now, I appreciate there is a big overlap between those two points. In a sense, you could say they're identical, but I think it's worth spelling out. You'll be more like Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit makes us more like him, because actually when you read that list of nine behaviours, nine attitudes, verses 22 and 23, is a description of him, in a sense. You know, who is the most patient or long-suffering man that's ever walked this planet? It's Jesus. Just think about how patient he was with you, for just how long he kept on gently pursuing you and reminding you of your need to know him. How patient Jesus is. Who's the most self-controlled person there has ever been? Well, again, it's Jesus. Look at his self-control when he's betrayed by one of his own disciples. If it was us, we'd want to respond so differently. You can go through each one of these things and see how Jesus himself is the perfectly fulfills it, that Jesus loves more deeply and fully in a much more real way than any human has ever loved. You can do that with all of that list. The wonderful thing is that we have the Holy Spirit and he is making us more like Jesus, more like those things, more joyful, more peaceful. And thirdly, the third thing that will happen as you walk in the Spirit is you'll be more fruitful. Hopefully we sort of come full circle here. We started off by talking about the fruit of the Spirit. How do you become more fruitful? How do you become more patient or kind or gentle? Well, we do it by walking in the Spirit. And here I think is the key to it all. As we walk in the Spirit, the fruit will take care of itself. Again, I think here's a mistake we sometimes make. We think, I want to be more joyful. So we sit at home and give ourselves this pep talk. Come on, I'm going to be joyful today. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to put this smile on. I'm going to do it. Well, I think we missed something there. Instead of that, we go back to the source of our joy. We remind ourselves of the Lord Jesus and the reasons we have to be thankful and full of joy. And you know, as we do that, and as the Spirit helps us, because we're not doing it all on our own, the fruit will take care of itself. I'm not saying here we should never try to be patient or anything like that, but I'm talking about where our focus is. The big focus is not on the fruit itself, and I'm trying to be more patient. The big focus is on walking with the Spirit, reminding ourselves of the gospel and applying it to our hearts. We like fruit trees. We had fruit trees in our old garden. We planted an apple tree in our new garden. Do you know what we found? We found children love watering trees. You know, we've also found they need to be told where to water them, because otherwise you go out with this watering can and they water the leaves and they water the branches and actually they water the fence and they water everything else as well. We had to teach them that you water the roots. And you know, we're giving a picture here of fruit, I think, for a reason. Water your roots and the fruit will come. It will grow. Focus your attention on Christ, on obeying him, on appreciating what he's given to you, on being thankful, and you'll find this fruit does grow in your life. Well, last couple of minutes. Firstly, maybe you're not a Christian and you think, well, yeah, but what's the problem with all of this? Maybe you think you're doing okay, because actually, you know, you look at yourself and think, well, I am quite patient and I am quite loving and I am quite kind. And one of the dangerous things about that is it can give us a false sense of hope and think, well, I don't need Jesus, because when I read this list, I think I'm doing all right. That doesn't. It gives us a false hope. If you've ever seen a tree struck by lightning, you can have trees, can't you, that are still rooted in the ground, growing up, but it's been struck by lightning. And what's interesting to notice is that the leaves are still green sometimes. But the tree is dying. You look on the inside, it's just this charred remains on the inside. You'd be a fool, wouldn't you, to think, yeah, but the leaves are green, so it's okay, I'm doing all right. That's a picture, I think, of the, yeah, there is patience and there is love and there are good things in the life of every person. But on the inside, there's no hope without Christ. If the roots are rotten, the tree will still die. We still need new hearts. We can't rely on all our patience and our kindness and so on. We need Christ. We need him alone. But if you are a Christian, maybe you've, I don't know if you ever thought to yourself, will I ever be really fruitful? Maybe you compare yourself to other people that, yeah, I wish I was kind like her, but I didn't even think about doing that kind thing she did until she did it. I just never crossed my mind, but it's obvious, and it's because I was selfish. And you know, maybe you feel like everything you touch just falls to pieces instead. I think, where's the hope of me being fruitful like this? Here's some words from Jesus that are there to encourage us, from John 15. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And again, every branch that bears fruit he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Jesus promises every one of his children, you will be more and more fruitful. So maybe we do feel like, you know, where is the fruit coming? Maybe we do ask those sorts of questions. Maybe we are impatiently wanting more and more fruit, but that's why it's so important to remember we're not here on our own with this. We have the Holy Spirit working, guiding, teaching us, casting light upon our lives, showing us how to live. God doesn't just give us a Bible. The Bible is a wonderful thing, but He gives us the Bible and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promises everyone who abides in Him will bear much fruit. Well, we're going to sing another hymn, and then we're going to gather around the Lord's